paid advertisement from Republicans for Culture Wars, also known as Citizens Against Citizens. As anyone watching last night's Republican convention surely realizes, America is at war with America. And that's a good thing. Hell, that's the only thing we got going for us at this point. Our enemies come in every race, creed, color. In fact, that's what makes them our enemies. But Republicans are on the front lines. Last night, Mitt Romney issued a call to arms against the East Coast elites when he could have been enjoying his $500 million fortune or reminiscing about his time as governor of Massachusetts. That's not on the East Coast, by the way. It's off there near Alaska. But the biggest threats to our communities comes from those really bad persons known as community organizers. Sarah Palin understands the dangers they pose.
This world of threats and dangers, it's not just a community, and it doesn't just need an organizer.
That's right, Sarah Palin. We can't depend on Washington to solve our problems. And we sure as hell can't depend on ourselves. You see, Sarah Palin knows that Americans are struggling.
Or maybe you are trying to keep your job at a plant in Michigan or in Ohio.
She mentioned Michigan and Ohio, which are out west, like Alaska. It's time for our communities to organize against these community organizers. John McCain will go after them. He'll chase them to the gates of hell if necessary. He knows how to do it. You can bet he'll smoke them out of their rented storefronts. This election, vote John McCain, Sarah Palin, because they won't rest until they've beaten back the threat to America from America.
I'm John McCain. I have no freaking clue what he's just... I support this message.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's it. Don't get your help from Washington, D.C., and don't help yourself as a community organizer. These people are reprehensible. Here's what the Daily Show had to say last week about this whole community organizer business. Let's see if we got it. Do I get it right?
He worked as a community organizer. What?
This world of threats and dangers, mm-hmm. It's not just a community, and it doesn't just need an organizer. I guess a small town mayor is sort of like a community organizer, except that you have actual responsibilities.
Yeah. So to everyone out there trying to make a difference in your communities, you. You stupid asses. You jerk off.
Yeah.
You're 1,000 points of bull. That's what you are.
That's it, man.
By the way, if it seemed odd that the GOP was denigrating community service, the night after making service their slogan,
yeah.
You're confused. Those Republicans were not praising service with those signs. They were demanding it from the waitstaff.
Yeah, that's exactly it. These people are, you know, how many years ago was George Bush with his 1,000 points of light asking people for community service? They did it in their own convention, and yet community organizers, we will deride them. We will deride the selfless individuals, the ragtag band of citizen patriots who go out there every day and make this country better, organizing in their community, signing up people to vote, helping poor people get asbestos out of their house as Barack Obama did in Chicago way back when. Yeah, that's something to be derided. Going to have Stephen Spoonamore, Republican cybersecurity expert, coming up with us in the next hour to talk about what went on in Ohio, what you've got to do, what you've got to be concerned about with these voting systems. Do you know the difference between a paper trail and a paper ballot? A paper ballot actually counts. You can mark it with your hand. It can hopefully be counted, maybe by an optical scanner if you hang around and make sure it gets counted. A paper trail on your voting, on your touchscreen machine, it's meaningless. Touchscreen machines, with or without paper trails, are meaningless. Get a paper ballot, mark it by hand. We want to take your calls on that at 866-87-RANDY. I want to try to clear these lines real quick, though, so I'm going to fly through here. A lightning round here. Kareem, thanks for holding. Yeah, get good at this. Kareem in West Palm Beach, Florida. Oh, Palm Beach, Florida. By the way, that's the home. Do you know the difference between election fraud and voter fraud, Kareem?
No, I don't.
Okay, the difference is election fraud is a serious concern. Voter fraud is not. It's a phony scheme, a scam, to try to keep people from voting. Republicans want to ask for photo ID. They want to challenge people at the polls. Voter fraud does not happen in this country to any extent, except for one woman named Ann Coulter, who committed voter fraud in Palm Beach, Florida. Palm Beach County, Florida, got her dead to rights. Go check bradblog.com/Coulter fraud. She committed
fraud.
I'm going
to check that out. Because,
please do. She is a...
I'm going to check to see, to make sure that I'm registered correctly.
Please do. Please do. Okay, real quick, Kareem, thanks for holding. What's up?
Well, the reason I called is because, you know, I was giving McCain the benefit of the doubt to see if he would win over me to vote for him.
Yeah.
But after hearing the Republican convention and what Rudy Giuliani said... See, my name is Kareem. That means it's a Muslim name. I was born with it. And
right.
then when he said, hey, you know, the Democrats and Obama are ashamed or afraid to say Islamic terrorists, and who are they going to offend? It's only going to offend the terrorists. Well, no, you idiot. It's going to offend everybody that's in the Islamic community.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying when they had the Oklahoma bombing, why don't we just call that guy a Christian terrorist?
Christian terrorist, you know, Christian extremist.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that because, you know, and it doesn't make sense that everybody was cheering and all that stuff, but yet Rudy Giuliani, the people that voted you in New York,
yeah.
Most of them were Islamic voters because there's a whole bunch of them up there.
Thanks for the call, Kareem. I gotta jump off. Appreciate
Thanks
the call. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, what was amazing was I was watching that thing all week saying, what happened to 9/11? Every other word was 9/11 back in 2004 at the Republican convention. Really, the only thing I heard about it was Rudy Giuliani saying that the Democrats weren't talking about it. Oh, and then they... flew the building, the plane into the building and showed that just for yucks. Mario calling from Los. Yeah, I'll get good at it. Mario, I heard Randy doing this when she first started. It's not easy. trying to get the phones. Mario calling from Los Angeles. Welcome to the Randy Show. What's up?
Hi. Thank you for my call. Thank you for my call.
Thank you. You're going to have to be quick.
First, I just have a couple of quick points about Senator McCain. Being a Marine Corps veteran from the Vietnam era, I honor Senator John McCain's service to this country, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing about his POW experience. I think it's such a pathetic attempt, quite frankly, to get a sympathy vote just so he can be president and be the one to carry on the third Bush term. Second, for Senator John McCain...
Well, you know, Mario, let me actually just respond. You know, oddly enough, back in 2000, he used to say, oh, I don't like to talk about that. He didn't talk about his POW experience. He said, I want to win the presidency back when he was running in 2000, you know, based on who I am now, not on what I was, but times change. All right, second point, Mario. Go.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Second point.
Yeah, and presidency, he also talks about it when he runs for when he's running for office in Arizona.
Yeah.
But for Senator John McCain, being a Vietnam veteran, to constantly talk about it, relive the horror and nightmare of his war experience in Vietnam, to constantly talk about it in public and private to everyone he meets, everywhere he goes, on TV and on the radio, day after day, and it's been close to over 35 years now, is clearly an individual is experiencing all the symptoms of someone who has post-traumatic stress syndrome. And a person with PTSD has mental problems, God bless it.
Well,
but
I got
a person with mental problems should not have his finger on the button.
Thanks for the call, Mario. I don't know if he has emotional problems, at least any more than he did before he went in. I ain't going to hold that against him. I just want him to start telling the truth, but I think that's a whole lot to ask. Way too much to ask. Brad Friedman in for Randy Rhodes. Stephen Spoonmore coming up. Republican cybersecurity expert in the next segment. It's Quarter After.
You are 10 digits away from Talk Radio Ambrosia. 866-87-RANDY. This is the Randy Rhodes Show.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Was sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. I lost my vote. It isn't fair.
No, it isn't. No, and we don't want him to lose a single vote, but just you wait. Now's the time to figure out how this stuff works. One guy wondering where those ballot goes is a Republican. Used to be on, I think, volunteered for John McCain back in 2000. Stephen Spoonmore, a cybersecurity expert. He's working on a book on the loss of electronic privacy, and he's been quite vocal about his concerns about electronic voting systems, and as a matter of fact, spoke with a network back in 2000. All I can say is a broadcast network who never ran the interview. It's an extraordinary interview. Check it out at velvetrevolution.us and rovecybergate.com. Stephen Spoonmore joins us now. Steve, welcome to the Randy Rhoads Show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
You talked about during that interview, that unaired interview that we've now finally got up, and I should say bradblog.com is a co-founder of velvetrevolution.us, so some transparency there. You talk in there about the great and powerful Oz and handing the ballots to him and waiting for him to come out. Explain what you were saying there about how these electronic voting tabulators work.
Well, thank you. If I could just potentially share a hair of background.
Sure.
I've spent most of my adult life building systems that banks use to assure people's credit card transactions or major settlements between the actual banking institutions.
Right.
We spend a huge amount of time figuring out who has sent a transaction, how it is received and transmitted, how it is handled, meaning the custody of the actual data, who touched it and why, and then confirming that it's correct with audits on the back end. It's inspected in all cases by at least three separate individuals who come up with separate opinions. And way back, actually in 1998, I was first asked to examine a voting system which, within 20 minutes, myself and my former CTO had not only entered into the voting machine code but also the tabulator code, and realized that not only was it extremely poorly written, there were no audit processes to confirm what one machine was telling another machine. Now, the reason this is very important is we're used to in America having, you know, an anonymous vote. We vote. We don't want anyone to know who we vote, so we erase the identity deliberately
right.
of who voted. So inherently, you cannot confirm that one machine is telling the other machine the truth. So if the machine that starts the information, the voting machine or the county tabulator,
right.
has rogue, uninspected code that changes the information, once it passes it on to the next machine, it's almost impossible to find out that there's been a mistake or a deliberate manipulation. It's a technical issue.
And this is one of the things that, you know, I hear this all the time. Oh, Diebold, they make ATMs. We, you know, have no problem there, blah, blah, blah. They're always accurate. The difference is you can track that stuff because you've
actually, they're not always accurate.
Okay.
I make my living finding the people who defraud those machines.
Right.
And my company specializes in building systems to hunt down and find electronic fraudsters. And just to give you the scope of it, anyone out there in radio land who has a MasterCard in their wallet, I am the principal author of what's called the LSSP, which is the Logical Security and Standards Practices for MasterCard.
Right.
Those machines out there follow those standards in 41 different computer systems that are looking for fraud all over the world. So when your phone rings and say, hey, are you charging $50 to get on this, and you go, no, I'm not. That's because those machines are following their standards and practices and have caught a fraudster. There is no such system capable of being written. I don't know how to do it for an anonymous vote pass-on system.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean to say, is that you've got, you can track it. You can call if there's a question, if someone, you cannot do that when you're dealing with an electronic voting system. And we're talking about not just the touch screens, because this is a real problem. People think, and this happened up in New Hampshire, and I heard this from folks supposedly on our side, folks over at Daily Coast who are supposed to know what the hell is going on, but who don't, who some of their front pagers were saying, don't you get it? Nothing could have gone wrong in New Hampshire because they have paper ballots. They don't have touchscreen systems. Look, a paper ballot still gets counted by these op scanners, and those can be flipped just as easily as touchscreen machines. Am I correct,
well,
Stephen Spoonamore?
You know something? I've become, it's like you have to compromise. Americans love technology.
Yeah.
In Great Britain, everybody in Great Britain and in Canada and in Germany casts a paper ballot, and they trust bank tellers because tellers count your money correctly, and hundreds of banks stay open late, and they count the ballots. With anyone in the public who wants to go can sit and watch.
Sounds good to me. What's the problem?
That's fine. I mean, exactly. It's low tech. You want to know something? It works perfectly.
So why do we have to compromise, Stephen?
We love technology in the U.S. We always think that the next gizmo is the next coolest thing. So the one thing I will say is if you're going to use computers to count things, there needs to be a paper originating document. So if you have a paper ballot, you put in an op scanner, and then those ballots are preserved in the correct manner. Then if a problem comes up, you can go back and do it the old-fashioned way and count it. Because the truth is, technology does not make your life safer. It does not make your life more secure. It makes your life faster. It can be convenient. But in this case, speed and convenience are not what you want in an election. You want accuracy and trust.
Steven,
you don't get those from machines.
Stephen Spoonamore, I'm sorry, I got to jump out here. I want you. I'm urging folks to check out RoveCybergate.com and velvetrevolution.us to look at these interviews with Stephen Spoonamore. He's worked with the folks who've worked with the Republicans who built these computer systems, and he says, don't trust them. I concur. What do we do about it? Talk to you about that after this break. Thanks, Stephen. Brad Friedman here, sitting in for Randy. 27 AFTA.
Radio only smarter. This is the Randy Rhodes Show.
You folks out there to go over to brandblog.com into the chat room. Find our friendly neighborhood. We got a new troll over there. We're happy to have him. His name is Ken. I want you to go over there politely and correct him and explain to him why hating America and hating democracy is not going to cut it this year. If you're looking for dead people voting twice, all of that nonsense, you're looking in the wrong place. Unless you're looking for Ann Coulter, go check out our report on her and the documents that we've got her dead to rights committing voter fraud. Now, I ran into Randy Rhodes. Oh, did I say Brad Friedman here, in for Randy here? Broadcasting from the beautiful K-Talk AM 1150 facilities here in Los Angeles while Randy takes a break. Tomorrow, by the way, our friend Christiana Brown from KJFK up in Reno is going to be sitting in for Randy, and then Randy is back on Wednesday. All right, I ran into Randy at the Democratic Convention a week or so ago. Here's what she had to say. You can see the whole video, by the way. We've got it over at Brad Blog. But here's a message that she has for you.
How many of our Christians...
Nope.
When it comes time to vote, Brad's going to be standing on that wall. And when Brad needs your help, if God forbid he needs your help, you better show up because I'm going to be spitting up a lung telling you to call Brad.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing. I need your help. I need you to save democracy. I would do it all myself if I could, but I can't. I'm busy. I got other stuff. No. I'm doing everything I can. I want you to join me. I want you to go to standingforvoters.org, print out the pledge for your candidates, make them sign the pledge that says, I pledge to use my candidacy whenever feasible to advance the preservation of democracy. I will officially challenge the results of the election as provided by law if the combination of election conditions, incident reports, and announced election results calls into question the reliability of the official vote count. I will wait until all valid votes are counted and all serious challenges resolved before declaring victory or conceding defeat. Sounds reasonable to me. And by the way, I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Green, a Libertarian, an Independent. If you're a candidate running for office and you're not going to stand up for democracy, I don't want you. However, if you sign this pledge, we'll add you to the website at standingforvoters.org. But it's up to the voters, you guys, to get them to sign these pledges. If they won't sign these pledges, I don't see why we need to support them if they won't support us. All right. Should I play you this real quick? Yeah, I'm going to. This is what Republicans think about voters. You can't hear this enough because they want to keep people from voting. We heard in the last hour about this guy in Virginia, this registrar, who said that if students register to vote there, they may lose their scholarships. They've got to declare independence from their parents. They can't get financial aid. It's unbelievable. Virginia's a swing state. They're going to try to keep students from voting, black people from voting, Democrats from voting, Hispanics from voting, anybody they can keep from voting. This process was put in place by the Republicans years ago. Here's Paul Weyrich, a conservative founding father, speaking in 1980 to a group of preachers in Dallas, 15,000 preachers in Dallas. Ronald Reagan and Jerry Falwell also spoke at this thing. Here's what Paul Weyrich, who still advises Republicans like John McCain, here's what he had to say about how elections should and shouldn't work in this country.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Got that? As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down. That's what's happening, people. That's what's going to happen between now and November. But you can do something about it. You must. You must find out if you're registered. You can go to votersunite.org. You can get the information on how to contact your county or your state to find out if you're registered. You can work as a poll worker, pollworkersfordemocracy.org. You can be a poll watcher. You can get in touch with the Democratic Party, the Green Party, Libertarian Party, Republican Party. I don't care. You can get in touch with the county. Tell them you want to be a poll watcher, an observer. You want to make sure people can vote. You want to make sure they're comfortable, that they can stand there in line, because I promise you the bad guys are going to ensure that there are too few machines again to vote. You've got to do something about it. This is up to you. This is your democracy. The media ain't going to do it. But if those people who give a damn about this country, and I'm not talking about Ken over in the bradblog.com chat room, the right-wing wacko who hates democracy, I'm talking about the people who give a damn about this country, if they all stand up, and I don't care, by the way, who you vote for, but if everyone who wants to vote in this country, who can legally vote in this country, is allowed to vote, and that vote is counted, then the good guys will win. I also spoke with Don Siegelman about his election. He's a former Alabama governor, and he ran in 2002. He went to bed at night having been told he was the winner of the election, and he was woken up in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock. They said, oh, wait, we found some new votes on the electronic voting system. Let's see. I hope this isn't too difficult to hear. I'm going to play this real quick. Don Siegelman, former governor of Alabama, who was thrown in jail under this scam run by Karl Rove. Here's what he had to say about his election in 2002.
You've spoken, I know, to a lot of folks in the corporate mainstream media about what happened in 2002.
You went to bed the winner that night of the election. You woke up. They found numbers had, been electronically manipulated in Baldwin County, was it?
Baldwin County. I went to bed the winner. Media had been sent home. The poll workers had been sent home. The party chairman had given their copies of the election results. And then after midnight, a light went on in the basement of the Capitol and basement of the courthouse and in the sheriff's office. And 5,200 votes that were mine were shifted to my vote. And when I asked for a recount, they actually had closed the courthouse.
Right.
So everybody had left except for just a few people in the basement in the sheriff's office.
So we know that, in fact, they were there in the middle of the night doing something. Absolutely. Nobody knows what it was.
Absolutely.
And you told that story, I think, to, Washington Post, Dan Abrams. Has anybody picked up on that angle of your story in the corporate media? Because I haven't heard it.
No, not really. It is one of those things that happened. People don't want to believe that elections are stolen in this country. They don't want to believe that we go to war under false premises. And they don't want to believe that their Department of Justice is used as a political tool. But in fact, in this administration, they work and argue that those things haven't been happening.
Is it your suspicion that your election was stolen electronically, or is it your belief that it was?
It's not just my belief. It's the people have looked at this election, and you've studied the figures and done regressive analysis of voting trends, say it's a statistical impossibility that there was electronic voter manipulation in the 2002 governor's race in Baldwin County.
Do the records, the database records from those that election still exist somewhere?
No.
They've been destroyed.
Those have been destroyed.
Governor, good to talk to you. Good to see you out of jail. Keep up the good work, and thank you for making noise.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Governor. Thank you, sir.
All right, that was hard to hear. I hope you could understand what he was saying. He was saying that someone, one person, a single person, flipped that entire election in Baldwin County, Alabama. The governor of Alabama in 2002, and this was Karl Rove's. This is Karl Rove's hangout. This is Karl Rove's operation. But it doesn't just need to be Karl Rove to do this. A couple of years ago, as in 2006, a source of mine, a Diebold insider source, gave us a voting machine, a touchscreen voting machine. We gave it to Princeton. And for the first time, an independent study of these machines, as you heard Stephen Spoonamore talking about, found just how hackable they are. A single voting system, single voting machine, can have a virus placed on it, can pass itself from machine to machine, and flip an entire election without detection. So what do? You vote on paper. You hand-mark that paper ballot. If you live in a town where there is only touchscreen voting systems, then get an absentee ballot. Ask for a paper ballot. In Ohio, for example, I sat down last week with, also in Denver, with Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner. I'm going to have an in-depth interview coming out soon on my discussion with her. But the question was, is she paying attention to what's going on? She said, yes, I am. She's banning sleepovers, this idea of sending these machines, these voting machines, home with poll workers. But it's not enough. We need people. We need eyeballs. And we need folks to inform everyone in Ohio that you are entitled to a paper ballot. Ask for one when you go to vote. You don't have to vote on a touchscreen system. You can vote on a paper ballot. Then you stay there and watch that ballot get counted. And you go to that counting tabulation room at the county at the end of the night. They would love to see you. Follow those ballots. Your eyes, your ears, your actions, yes, your community organization is going to make the difference here if this democracy is to survive. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Randy Rhodes. One more segment. Stick with us, 45 after.
Fearless. Honest. real. This is the Randy Rhoads Show.
Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Randy Rhoads here. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. See how many calls we can get through here before we must go away. By the way, Christiane Brown of KJFK in tomorrow for Randy. And Randy's back on Wednesday, never fear. Mary, here we go. Mary from Oregon. What's up, Mary?
Hey, Brad.
Hey,
thanks,
Mary,
for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thanks for holding on.
You mentioned about the preservation of democracy, and I wanted to give props for a group that just doesn't get any recognition because they're not old enough to vote.
Yeah.
Like my 16-year-old niece who lives with me, who canvasses with me, phone banks. She's got her own blog on MySpace politically. And she talks to her friends and people she doesn't know at her high school. And they go home and talk to their parents. And
Sweet. They're
making a difference.
Sweet. Yes.
They really are.
God bless you for pointing that out. You know, high school students, college students.
Yeah.
She's a community organizer, Mary.
Well, I know.
Sarah Palin hates her.
Let me quickly just say that she watches the whole RNC with me and the DNC, and we do war protests and all that stuff, and she's committed. But she said to me this weekend, she goes, Aunt Mary, why in the 21st century are we talking about race and women's rights? 16 years old. She's got more of a clue than Rove and Drag, who apparently Sarah Palin is. But anyway, we've got some really smart up-and-comers coming, and I just want to give them props to all those kids out there helping, too.
Thanks for making that point, and thank her for everything that she's doing.
I will, Brad.
Keep up the work. Really appreciate it, Mary.
You bet.
All right, let's see. Let me get to my old home state of Missouri. Where are we here? Yeah, let me get to Christopher in Neosho, Missouri. What's up, Christopher?
Not much here in Neosho. In a little town. I was
I know, Neosho. Kind of muggy, humid out there, is it?
Very muggy, very humid.
That's what I thought. Okay, that's why I got up. What's up, Christopher? You're in ground zero, by the way, for this election battle on photo ID restrictions and phony GOP vote fraudsters. Anyway, go. What's up? Sorry.
Well, I got to tell you, Brad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a community organizer myself here, and I was just kind of wondering, is there any place to get any news besides Jon Stewart?
Yeah, we're out there. If I can pat myself on the back a little bit, Brad Blog, but Talking Points Memo, RossStory.com.
It seems like a lot of the information comes straight from Jon Stewart and a lot of these other on the west wings, the west side of the country and the east side of the country.
Yeah.
There never seemed to be anything from the middle.
I'm
getting a little bit sick of that because, you know, I get a little tired of it being here in the middle of the country.
And I'm going to let you go just because I want to get to a bunch of callers, but since you're in Missouri, Fired Up Missouri. I think it's firedupmo.com. Check them out. Just Google Fired Up Missouri. Those guys rock. Those guys will give you real news. Real news about what's going on in Missouri. Yeah.
Real news everywhere.
Yeah. Working on it.
You just got to find it. Get all of it.
Doing everything that we can. Call your station. Tell them you're happy to have Randy on and
XM and, Sean Hannity's one step up, and I wouldn't mind going up to that one, so at least we'll get some information.
From Hannity? Is that what he said? From Hannity? He ain't going to get information there. You'll get a whole bunch of lies, but if you want him, go for it. All right, real quick, Ed in Chicago. Welcome to the Randy Show. You got 30 seconds. What's up?
Okay, hey, Brad, I just got three quick questions for you.
Three?
I'm a
president of
independent thinking, and that's why I listen to you.
Yeah.
And I hope you can do the same. If the elections of these deep bolt machines are so flawed, why are they always consistent with the major polls like Gallup and Rasmussen. It seems like they're always
consistent.
Coincide.
They weren't consistent.
Go back and look. They always were. They always come out.
Actually, let me. I got to cut you off. Hang on. I'll get your questions, but I got to move quick because we're at the top of the hour. Okay. Go to go watch Uncounted the Movie. UncountedTheMovie.com. You can buy the DVD. No, the polls don't match the machines over and over and over again. Next question, Ed.
Brad, okay,
we're going to run out of time, so give me the next question.
Source. Number two, you always cite the media as being liberal, or I mean rather being conservative or favoring the Pentagon and Bush.
Yes, sir.
You look at two empirical studies that came out in 2005, UCLA, and 2008, Harvard, that were showed unabashedly that the media was progressive.
And is that Jeffrey Milo's study?
I'm citing objective sources. Gallup, Rasmussen are objective. UCLA and Harvard objective. They're not left wing. They're not conservative. Okay. My last question:
okay.
If you're not an extreme, you're not an extreme leftist.
Yeah.
Cite someone in this country who is more to the left of you.
Someone who is more to the left of me.
Let me hang. Yeah, more to the left.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Ed. Thanks for the call, Ed. I much appreciate it. I don't give a damn about left or right or middle or center. I'm an American, and if you want to make up that silly red, blue, right, left nonsense, that's up to you. That's meant to divide this country, to turn it into two people, into two different groups. That's what Pat Buchanan and Richard Nixon devised back there with their southern strategy. Split the country up into two groups. Our group will be bigger. I ain't playing. And by the way, those Democrats out there that play into that red, blue, right, left nonsense, you ain't helping yourself. We're all Americans here. Stop the division. If anything, we're purple. All right. Randall. Oh, Randall from Tempe, Arizona. Randall, I'm sorry. I got about 15 seconds for you before I got to get out. What's up, brother?
Educate yourselves across the country. Do what we did in Arizona. Start your own election integrity committee inside your political party and make sure your party is militant about election integrity. And educate yourselves at bradblog.com.
This has been a paid advertisement. Thank you, Randall. Love you. Yeah. Love everything you guys are doing out there in Phoenix, in Maricopa, in, where are we? In Tempe. Well, I don't even know where the hell they are. Hey, guys. Take your democracy back. That's all I ask for you. Get from you. Get to work. You can do it. Don't count on anyone else to do it for you. If you all do it, 90% of you who don't do anything, if you start doing it now, we change the world. Ian Howe, Billy Foster, John Manzo over at Nova M Radio, I want to thank you very much. Mike Schaefer and the folks at K-Talk AM 1150 in L.A., thank you as well. Desi Doyen producing me locally. And, oh yeah, Randy Rhodes. Really appreciate you letting me sit in. Talk to you all soon. See you on the blog.
You're listening to The Randy Rhodes Show. This is the Nova M Radio Network.